Welcome to Romancing the Saints with Pastor Gene Pensiero. We're glad you're joining us as we study verse by verse through books of the Bible, discovering God's extravagant love for His people. Now we pick back up in our verse by verse study through the book of Joshua.
Good to be together. Let's open our Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. We're studying through the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Our text this morning is Joshua chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. The topic there, 40 years after their fathers were disciplined for refusing to enter the promised land, the Lord commands Joshua to circumcise the new generation of Israelites as a renewal of his covenant. The title of our message, Foreskins and 40 Years Ago. I almost had a fight first service, but we dealt with it. Okay, verse 1. So it was, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives for yourselves, and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time." So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Let's pray together. Father, you're wanting always to bring us to a greater place of maturity in our walk with you. And we understand, Lord, that that's going to happen most profoundly by just seeing you as you're revealed in the Scripture and understanding what you've done for us, what you've accomplished for us, the life, really, that you've brought us to, and the ability for us to walk in the newness of that life because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would fall in love with you today again, maybe again and again, as we see so many wonderful things, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Take this text and make it real to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. According to the American Academy of Family Physicians, and I quote, "Full recovery following adult circumcision may require 4 to 6 weeks. They're talking about a sterile procedure performed under local anesthesia in a fully equipped office or hospital with precise surgical instruments by trained surgeons. In hostile territory, about 2 miles from the walled city of Jericho, Joshua incapacitated the entire army of Israel by circumcising them, not as a trained surgeon with precise surgical instruments using local anesthesia. He did it with homemade flint knives. Then, instead of disposing of the foreskins as medical waste, he simply threw them in a pile, and they were called the Hill of the Foreskins. I submit to you that the enemies of Israel holed up in Jericho could see the Hill of the Foreskins. There would be hundreds of thousands of them. They would know that Israel's army was vulnerable. I cannot emphasize enough the strangeness of this military strategy. It screams at us that there is a spiritual lesson to be learned. It's a very simple lesson, really. Our warfare may take place in a physical environment, but it is essentially spiritual. Thus, battles are never won, nor are enemies ever defeated in our own strength. We must have no confidence in our own intelligence or talents or abilities. Those things must be incapacitated before we can fully follow the Lord. I'll organize my thoughts around 2 points. Number one, circumcision is a spiritual operation you want to receive. And number two, circumcision is a spiritual operation you don't want to reverse. And so let's take a look at verses 1 through 7 again, where we see that circumcision is a spiritual operation that you want to receive. Male circumcision was given to Abraham as the sign of God's covenant with him and his descendants, that he would give them the promised land and bless their seed as a nation. Though a physical rite, it always had spiritual symbolism. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and chapter 30, God told his people to circumcise their hearts. God was always more concerned with the heart. So the outward rite of the cutting away of the flesh was meant to show them the inward responsibility to cut away their flesh and be tender-hearted towards the Lord. The New Testament also emphasizes circumcision as a heart issue. The Apostle Paul defined true circumcision in Romans chapter 2, verse 29, when he said, "He is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart." Every believer in Jesus Christ, whether male or female, is described as already being, and I quote, "circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ." That's from Colossians chapter 2, it's verse 11. When Paul says without hands, he means it is something internal and spiritual. It has nothing to do with whether you're physically circumcised or not. It is a putting off, or literally, it is the removal, he says, of the body of the sins of the flesh, the sinful fallen human nature that dominates you before you are saved has been removed by Jesus. It is part of what happened to you when you became a Christian. You are given a new nature and you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Well, here's the catch. My new spiritual nature resides in my old physical body. My old physical body still has inclinations and dispositions and tendencies to want to satisfy itself in ways that are indulgent at best and sinful at worst. We call this the flesh. My new spiritual nature residing in my flesh sets up an internal conflict. Will I act and react according to the lusts and the desires that remain in my flesh, or will I act and react according to the delights of my new nature in Jesus Christ? Paul the Apostle talks about this at length in Romans chapter 7. You're probably familiar with it. If you're not, it's very simple. He says there, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. He says, I have a new nature, but I also have this flesh, these members that have tendencies and desires. And he speaks about that conflict and that warfare that's going on. It is precisely at that point of conflict that I am to understand I have been spiritually circumcised by Jesus Christ. I can thus deny the lusts and desires of my flesh in favor of the delights of my new nature. In other words, I have a choice in those moments. All of this is illustrated for us in our text. And so let's look again at verse 1. So it was, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. It's clear that the enemies of Israel believed they were already defeated. Their hearts melted. They didn't have the courage to face off. Nevertheless, they dug in and they refused to outright surrender. The same is true of you as a Christian. The lusts and the desires and the dispositions and the tendencies of your flesh have already been defeated and cut away by Jesus Christ. But because we're still in this physical body, they are dug in deeply and they refuse to surrender. How do you defeat dug-in enemies that are already defeated? Well, according to our text and according to the New Testament, you do it by the spiritual surgery of circumcision. Let's look at verses 2 through 7, where it says, "At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives for yourself, circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time.' So Joshua made flint knives for himself. He circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way." Now, it would appear that God suspended the physical rite of circumcision during the wilderness wanderings until all the previous generation was dead. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant that he had made with Abraham to bless his offspring and bring them into the promised land. When the generation sinned and refused to go into the promised land, God suspended his covenant and thus suspended the sign of the covenant, and that's why these individuals were not circumcised. It was not disobedience on their part, it was by God's doing. Now that all the previous generation was dead and their children were in the land, it was time to renew the covenant with them, and that meant that they would have to undergo adult circumcision. Now, circumcision obviously is the very last thing they ought to have done from a physical perspective. There's an episode in the Old Testament book of Genesis where the sons of Israel decide to convince their enemies to be circumcised, to submit to circumcision. And while they're recovering, they go in and they just kill everybody because the fighting men can't move or do anything to defend themselves. And so it's not a good thing from that perspective. You're only 2 miles away from the walled city of Jericho against fierce enemies, and you decide to have a circumcision in plain sight. However, it was the very thing that must be done in order for them to know the victory God had promised them. Every day, you and I have instances where you can act or react from your flesh, or you can believe that it has been circumcised and you can express the new nature. It is often the very thing you do not want to do. You feel it will somehow incapacitate you, but it's the thing that must be done for you to enjoy spiritual victory. Let's say someone attacks you verbally. You can defend yourself, or you can return a blessing for their curses. You can grow bitter, or you can be forgiving. You can be impatient, or you can be long-suffering. The list goes on and on. You and I, we're familiar with the works of the flesh. We know what we're talking about when we talk about anger and bitterness and resentment and all these kinds of things. And we also understand the fruit of the Spirit, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, those kinds of things. And the Bible says the choice is yours. And in this context, it says you can understand that Jesus has cut away that flesh so that you don't have to respond that way. It's still entrenched. You still want to, in a sense. You can still yield your members to that, but you don't have to. The choice is yours. If you receive this biblical truth that you have been circumcised, you will defeat your already defeated enemies. No matter how deeply entrenched it may seem, your flesh has been removed. It is applied by faith. One of the reasons that Christians fall short so much in this area is that we live in a culture of blame shifting. Nothing is your fault anymore. Everything is the fault of someone else. It's your mother's fault, your father's fault, usually your father. Let's not pick on moms. And it is Father's Day, so. But it's usually it's your parents' fault. It's your upbringing. You either had the wrong education or too much education. Either, you know, you didn't go to the right schools or your parents forced you to do something. There's a million excuses for why we can't or don't react the way that we should. We can't bring that over into the Christian life. When you hear yourself saying things like, I can't take this anymore, I don't want to, whatever, you know, this is what we're talking about, because the Lord says, wait a minute, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Your flesh has been cut away. It's been rendered inoperative. You can still yield to it if you want to, but you don't have to. If we say that we don't sin, we're liars. But the Bible says we don't have to sin. And so this is the struggle that we have. I want to do certain things. I find that I don't always do them. I don't want to do certain things. I sometimes do them. But I need to believe that I can have the victory because of what Jesus Christ has done. And when I apply that by faith, I will walk forward in victory. So much of your Christian life is practicing what is true of your position in Christ. Two word pictures in the text might help us put spiritual circumcision into practice. First of all, it says they were circumcised by a sharp knife. So are we. The Word of God is a precise surgical tool in the hands of the great physician. It says of itself in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, that it is sharper than any two-edged blade, and it is said to be able to divide between the soul and the spirit. That is some precise surgery. You know, you watch these shows, Medical Incredible on the Discovery Channel, and all these phenomenal surgeries they can do now, that, you know, with the microsurgery, and this physician's got this, you know, virtual helmet on, and sometimes I just think he's playing, you know, video games, but in reality, you know, and then they show the little camera going down these tiny capillaries, and all the things that they can do in cities outside Kings County Well, no, I mean, it's in big cities where they have this good stuff. But I couldn't resist. Anyway, I mean, it's fantastic. And they tell you, you know, just if we don't get this just right, this person's going to be crippled, you know, for the rest of their life. And it's all really great. The Bible says of itself, it is so precise when working on your spiritual heart that it can divide between the soul and the spirit. Some theologians don't even believe there's a difference between the soul and the spirit. There's a big argument as to whether we're a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit, or a dichotomy, spirit and body. And I won't bore you with it because it bores me to talk about it, you know. But it's so precise, the Word of God. And so if I will read the Word and really allow it to penetrate my heart and to humble myself before it, God promises that He will do surgery on me. I will see how I am to act and to react as a new creation. I will believe that I don't have to sin. Every command I encounter, I'll see that it already is an enabling from God to walk in newness of life. I won't say, I can't do that. I'll be excited about what God allows me to do. And so as I just am in God's Word, I understand that it cuts away my flesh and exposes the spirit. Second, Joshua piled up the foreskins. You and I ought to have a pile going where we daily throw off the lusts and desires of our flesh. Now, yes, positionally, spiritually speaking, you were circumcised by Jesus Christ the moment you were saved. But on a practical level, when we're fighting this daily warfare, when something appeals to my lusts or my desires, and I have a decision to say no to sin and yes to God, then I am taking that foreskin, as it were, of the flesh, and I'm throwing it off, and I'm piling it up. And this is the daily process of living the Christian life, piling up the deeds of the flesh so that I don't walk in them, but rather in the Spirit. No battle can be won, no enemy can be defeated in or by the flesh. Realize that you have been spiritually circumcised, and let your weakness and incapacity be Christ's strength and victory. Now, in verses 8 and 9, we're going to see that circumcision is a spiritual operation you don't want to reverse. It sounds funny because we normally don't think of physical circumcision as being reversible. There are, however, I discovered, both surgical and non-surgical procedures to restore the foreskin. Spiritual circumcision is a one-time procedure. It was already done to you by Jesus Christ when you were saved. But in our cases as Christians, it can, in a sense, be reversed and the flesh restored. It happens when we choose to ignore what Jesus has done for us and instead express our flesh. I can defend myself, demand my rights, refuse to forgive, grow bitter and resentful. I can lust after and desire all sorts of sinful things. And when I do, I am, in a sense, restoring my flesh and reversing that spiritual operation. I must therefore be willing to remain spiritually circumcised. Maybe the experience of the Israelites can teach me something. And so in verse 8 it says, "So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed." Even though only the males were circumcised, the text applies it to the whole nation, all the people. All of them benefited from it. As a Christian, I must remember that I am a part of something greater than myself. The Bible says I'm a member of the body of Jesus Christ on the earth. It says I'm a living stone in a building that is being put together on the earth. Thus, my decisions and my behavior affects other believers whether I want it to or not. It just goes with the territory. When I have a choice between the flesh and the spirit, I should think of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I might think I'm sinning privately in a closet where no one can see me. But we're to understand ourselves as spiritual beings with connections to one another. And when I sin, when I behave improperly, it affects all of my brothers and sisters. We're going to see in chapter 7 here of Joshua, a guy by the name of Achan, who thought he was sinning privately, that he had done something that no one really knew about, and nobody in the nation really did know about it. But God brought defeat on the entire nation. Some of them were killed as a result of it because of the interconnectedness of the body of Christ. And so, we talk about peer pressure. We don't like it when our children are subject to negative peer pressure. But there is a positive peer pressure in the Church of Jesus Christ, and it is to see myself as wanting to obey God so that you and my other brothers and sisters can be strengthened and built up and encouraged. Let's get closer to home. Maybe it's hard for you to relate to other people. Yes, we go to church together, but we're not really that close, you think. Well, the previous generation of Israelites refused to enter the promised land. Their fleshly decision had a profoundly negative effect, on their own children. It forced their children to wander in the wilderness and watch them all die for their disobedience. So too does my sin negatively affect my children and my family. It seriously destroys families. So the point that we're making here from verse 8 is that when I decide to, as a Christian, yield to my flesh rather than to the Spirit, it affects everybody. It doesn't just bring me a temporary pleasure and a lasting shame. It brings danger and difficulty to my brothers and sisters in Christ, and it destroys families. And so there's some, if you want, negative motivation for this very positive teaching that the Lord has set us free from these things. Then it says they stayed in the camp until they were healed. The word is means to be made whole. The removal of the foreskin isn't a loss. It required the removal of the flesh in order to be made whole. You and I are made whole. We achieve true humanity, as it were, by denying the flesh. We lose nothing. We gain everything. Now, the world, we're going to talk about in just a minute, has done a pretty good job of portraying biblical Christianity as a loss. It's a lose-lose situation. Most people, I think, generally have an idea that to be a really outstanding Christian, you have to be a monk in a monastery or a nun in a nunnery.
Pastor Gene has been serving in the Central Valley of California at Calvary Hanford since 1985. You can find hundreds more Bible studies by visiting our website at calvaryhanford.com. There you'll find video, audio, and transcripts of sermons just like the one you just heard. You can also find links to get Pastor Gene's books at calvaryhanford.com/books. We hope you'll join us next time on Romancing the Saints as we continue to discover that you are the passion of Jesus.